So this morning, we're going to be doing something a little bit differently. We're going to be getting into God's Word. So that's not different. We do that every Sunday. As I've said before, I don't know what else we would do if we weren't getting into the Word of God. But we're going to be stopping the Daniel series just for one Sunday. We do this on occasion. And the title of this sermon is Chain Breaker. Chain Breaker. And the reason why we are doing this is because, well, there's a couple reasons. One is that I and a number of other pastors, we are working together to develop a ministry here in Watertown called Celebrate Recovery. And so we have a number of people in our church that are actually a part of that team that are being trained right now. One of the, I imagine that you see it too, one of the great needs that Watertown has right now is a recovery ministry that is Christ-centered. You guys ever read the papers? You guys ever see everything that's going on in our city, all the brokenness, all the hurt, the pain, the addiction? And so we have been working on putting together this ministry, and by the grace of God, I'm happy to say that it is really developing. The training is going really well, and we hope to actually launch it this coming fall. And it's, yes, it's going to be for the community at large, but as you're going to be learning this morning, it's actually for you as well. You might be surprised to learn that, but it's for you as well. And so I'm going to be talking about that, but, and I did not want it to become this, and it won't. This is not just an info commercial about Celebrate Recovery. We're ultimately going to be talking about Jesus Christ and how he is the one that frees us from our addictions, that he is the one who liberates us. So this is not just a commercial for that ministry. This is something that we all need to hear, that the freedom that we find only in Jesus Christ. So, in order to get us started here, maybe a good way to do that is by stating something that you guys intuitively already sense. It's this. There's a sin treadmill, a sin treadmill that sometimes it feels like it's hard to get off. You guys ever been there before? I have. I've been there many times in a situation or a pattern or a habit where there have been times where I'm like, God, I want to change. I don't want to think this way. I don't want to live this way. And what happens, this treadmill is like this treadmill of I'm confessing my sin, but then the next thing I know, I'm committing the sin again, and I'm just coming back to it. And so if you have felt that way, I can tell you I have felt that way too. But I also want to let you know that we don't have to live that way. We don't actually have to live that way. It is possible for you and I to have spiritual victory. Do you guys believe that? Now, again, I'm not talking about sinless perfection. That's nonsense, right? We don't get that until we do something that's really painful. It's called die, right? We don't. So sinless perfection doesn't happen in this lifetime. But we can expect to be growing and to becoming more like Jesus Christ. Here's one of my big concerns. And we're going to read. If you have the Bible, you can go ahead and open up to Ephesians chapter 4. That's going to be our passage for this morning. Of course, we're going to look at that in just a moment. So, yeah, we're going to look at Ephesians 4. But here's one of my big concerns for each one of us as your pastor. One of my concerns is this, is that in our life, that there are areas of brokenness. Areas of sin. Areas of patterns in our life that we haven't gotten victory over. And my concern is this, is that you and I, we get to a place where we just start to live with a sense of peace about that area of brokenness. You've gotten to a place where you're like, that's just kind of the way that I am. I have been that way for so long, I don't really even know if change is possible. And then you come to this conclusion. This is what the Christian life is like. You've come to the conclusion that being stuck spiritually is what the Christian life is like. And you've actually accepted that. instead of what you and I need to know is this, is that Jesus Christ has come so that we can have abundant life, so that streams of living water can flow out of us. And so, again, my concern is we've gotten stuck in some place in our life and we've concluded, maybe that's just the way it is for everyone. Maybe that's just what it means to be a Christian. And I want you to know it doesn't have to be that way. You don't have to be stuck. You don't have to be stuck spiritually. There is so much more. This is always true. There is so much more that God is calling you to this morning. There's more of his life. There's more of flourishing. There's more that he wants to do in your life. You know, one of the big hindrances? We don't want to deal with the pain. And so what we do is frequently what God wants to do in your life is he wants to take you through the pain. He wants you to actually deal with it. He doesn't want you to numb yourself. He wants you to deal with it. And what you do is you keep diverting from the only path where transformation is possible. You keep taking this other path. You won't deal with it. You and I won't deal with it. And so that's how we just get stuck. So I said I was going to read for us from Ephesians 4. I'm going to do that now. Just a few verses. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read through 17 through 24, but we're really going to focus in on 20 through 22. But verse 17, Ephesians 4. Who wrote the book of Ephesians? Paul, right? Pretty good chance if you ask that question about the New Testament. Most of the time you're going to be right if you say Paul. Now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity, but that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And so we are going to certainly come back to that passage and seek to understand this exhortation that the Apostle Paul has given so that you can walk out of here this morning like, okay, I have a handle on what he's commanding us to do. But what I want to begin with is this, is I want you to understand what Celebrate Recovery is about, like what they do. But again, it's not just a commercial. As I share this information, what I hope that you are doing is you're examining your own life and asking the question, is this true of me? Do I have some of these unresolved areas in my own life? And then we want to turn to the one and only place that we can turn to. And I'll say this real quick. Ultimately, addiction of any sort is a worship disorder. Have you heard me say that before? Newsflash, our culture has a lot of bad information about dealing with addiction. You ever notice that? You haven't noticed that? Our culture has a lot of bad information about how to deal with addictions. And I don't want to step on your toes, but I'll go ahead and do it anyway. Addiction is not a disease. Have you been told that before, that it was? It's not. And I know personally that there have been some people who I've said that before, and then they stop coming to church. You want to know why? It's because our culture has so indoctrinated our minds into thinking that it's a disease. Here's the problem. If our hurts, habits, and hang-ups, and I'm going to explain that in just a moment, but if all the stuff that is going on inside of us, if it's really a disease, here's the problem. You don't need a savior. You don't need Jesus Christ who died on the cross and rose again. So what you and I have, I'm going to use the term addiction this morning to describe a part of what's going on in Celebrate Recovery. But as I do that, as I talk about addiction, I want you really to have a handle on that what we're talking about is idolatry. And so it's a worship disorder as we talk about addiction. Is Celebrate Recovery more than that? Well, hold on. You're going to learn that it is. Let me give you a quick definition of Celebrate Recovery. Celebrate Recovery is a Christ-centered ministry for people with hurts, habits, and hang-ups. It will be launching this fall. I've already told you that. After this service, what we'd love for you to do is we would love for you to give a love offering to support Celebrate Recovery. This is one of the ministries that I can say that I am most excited about out of everything that I am doing. Why? Because it so nicely aligns with our vision of being a part of what God is doing in the six counties all around us. So after this service, if you feel so led out these doors, there's going to be some information there, some people who are there to answer your questions. You can write a check. You write the check to Midwest Bible Camp. And then in the memo section, you just put Celebrate Recovery. This is falling under the ministry at this point in time of Midwest Bible Camp. Write the check to Midwest Bible Camp, memo, Celebrate Recovery. You have an opportunity to support this even this morning. So, hurts, habits, and hangups. I have been told by my Celebrate Recovery team that I need to be careful how I define Celebrate Recovery. So I'm going to take a little time with this. But again, I want you to ask the question, well, does this apply to me? What are the hurts? Here's the question. What are the hurts that you are struggling with? So the first thing that we want to tackle when it comes to this ministry is helping people to deal with their hurts. And I think we have some information we could put up here. Here's the definition. A hurt could be classified as any life experience that may have damaged your heart, some offense against you that crippled your ability to deal with the world in a healthy way, something that may have twisted your view of yourself to God or to others. That's what a hurt could be. Well, it'd be helpful. Maybe it'd be helpful if we had some examples. Can I give you some examples? Maybe some examples would include things like this. Maybe it would be the fact that you were abused. Don't mention that lightly, do we? I would strongly imagine that we have people in this room. I know that we have people in this room that have dealt with abuse. Physical abuse, sexual abuse, dysfunctional family. Any of you come from a family, don't raise your hand. Any of you come from a family, you're like, man, they were dysfunctional, would be putting it nice. Maybe someone cheated on you. Maybe someone had an affair. Maybe you experienced the trauma of being raped, sexually assaulted. Maybe you had an abortion. Maybe someone you love had an abortion. So as you start to think about that, here's what I want you to do. Are you walking around with any of those hurts this morning? You personally. As you think, as you start kind of like sinking your mind around that definition of hurt, is for any of you here, you're like, yeah, that's me as a matter of fact. I have people in my life who were hurt 30 years ago, and to this day, it's still something that's not resolved. And I don't mean resolved in the sense of like you've forgotten about it. That's nearly impossible, right? That's not our expectation. But I mean, when I mean resolved, I'm talking about where God has dealt with it in a way that they have gotten to a place where there is a spiritual health. They haven't forgotten, but God has been healing them and actually gotten them to a place, this is an indicator, where they're actually able to use that hurt and to do ministry to other people. Do you have any hurts like that? We're going to talk in a moment about what we can do about it, where we can turn. What about the habits that you might be struggling with? Hurts, habits. So what does it mean to struggle with a habit? Well, again, you can see this behind me. Habits tend to be unhealthy patterns that often start as a perceived remedy for some problem in your life, but end up turning into a chronic bad behavior or addiction. Habits are the repeat default scripts you run to when the going gets tough and continually lead to trouble in your life. What are some examples? Alcohol, eating disorders, lust, porn, gossip, workaholism, materialism, etc. Here's one of the things that I know is true in my own life. And I say this so that hopefully you increasingly get to a place where you're like, at New Life Church, I could be open and honest about this. One of the worst things that could be true about a church, is that you don't feel like you could talk about these things. I don't understand what the point of all of it would be if you didn't feel like you could talk about these things. I'm broken. I'm a sinner. I've been saved by grace. I put that on display for you so that you can say, yeah, okay, if Pastor Michael's willing to be open and honest, then maybe it's okay for us to be open and honest as well. And it is okay. But one of the things as we talk about this, one of the things that in particular happens, and happens with hurts, habits, and hangups, is the remedy, right? The remedy is what we try to turn to in order to deal with the pain, in order to deal with the discomfort, in order to deal with the things that you don't want to deal with. That's how addictions happen. And so it's 2, 3, 4 years later, and now you're like, my goodness, this remedy that I used to turn to, this remedy is dominating me. And then you get to a place where you're like, I don't honestly know if I can live any differently. This is just the groove that I have gotten into. This is the pattern I have gotten into. For the men, a year ago, we went through a sexual purity course called Conquer. And it actually talks about the evidence there is that as you continually give into lust, that it actually begins to impact your brain. Did you know that? It's actually not much different than a person who is giving their life over to a cocaine habit, lust and cocaine. It does the same kind of thing to your brain. And so this morning, if you start to feel like, man, I've been in this rut for a long time, you need to know, in a sense, you are up against it. The devil, our sin nature, has been working in such a way as to leave you in bondage, and that's what the devil wants. And again, I want to tell you, it doesn't have to be like that. You and I, we don't have to stay there. I think half the battle is just believing that that's true. What about these hang-ups, hurts, habits, and hang-ups? Michael, why do you keep using this language? Well, this is Celebrate Recovery language. And again, we're using this language to help you understand. And then what you are going to start doing, please, is you will, as you start encountering people in everyday life, you're going to start thinking about this, right? You're going to be like, my goodness, they have a life-dominating hurt. They've been bitter for 25 years. Or they've got this crystal meth problem, or they've got this drinking problem, or they've got this gossip or anger problem. And you'll start to realize, I don't really feel like I have the tools to be able to help them. Or maybe you this morning, friend, brother, sister, you're like, this is you. You're stuck here. And so this is a ministry for you. This is also a ministry that you can encourage other people to come into. And what you can know is this is, we're not just trying to rearrange furniture on the Titanic. Have you heard that expression before? What do I mean by that? We're not just attempting to take one hurt habit or hang up, one addiction, and just replace it with something else. What we want to do is we want to focus in on Jesus Christ. We know that He's the one that can heal our heart. What's a hang up? Hang-ups are those roadblocks that keep you from progressing further in God's plan for your life. They are often shaped by some bent thinking you may have received as a child or some unhealthy attitude you may have adopted as a means with coping with life's challenges. What are some examples? Anger, anxiety, depression, something that I have wrestled with personally, which helps me when you tell me that you're feeling that way, I can say, yep, I know what that's like. I've been there before. I know the pain of that. I know the despair of that. Fear, greed, laziness, false guilt, guilt is not always a bad thing. Sometimes it's the Holy Spirit that is making us feel guilty, but sometimes it's just a sense of guilt and shame that we live with that Jesus Christ does not want us to live under. People-pleasing, pride. Here's what I want you to do. This is how I get the results that I like when I ask a question. So if you have seen anything up here that resonates with you specifically, I don't want you to raise your hand, okay? See how I did that? Here's what I believe to be the truth, and I'm being a little bit funny, is that as you think about these things, if you don't see yourself in any of these, I think you were checking out for the last 10 minutes. All of us should have seen ourselves in there somewhere. And here's why that's true, because none of you, not me, are completely sanctified yet. All of us still have a sin nature. We're still in progress to becoming more like Jesus. So this connects to every single one of us. And I'll say it again, I believe what God wants to do is he wants to help you to get unstuck. He wants to help you to realize that all the ways that you're trying to deal with it, and some of the ways we're like, man, that's obviously really bad, right? The person who's the drunk, the alcoholic. In church life, we're like, man, that's terrible. How many of us use food too much to help us deal with the pain that we're feeling? Let's be honest. What's the difference? Well, I'm going to tell you what the difference is. Nothing. There's no difference. Some of us use Netflix, right? Oh, that, you know, thank you for bringing that up. That sounds, you know, so much better. It's not. It's not. It can become a coping mechanism. Listen, for every single one of us, there is an area in my life, there's an area in your life where God wants us to continue to surrender to Him. He doesn't want us just to stay where we're at because He knows that He has something better for you. The evil one wants you to think that where you are at, that's just where you need to stay. And God, again, He wants to say to you, that's not true. Spiritual victory is possible. You guys have a desire to change? Here's three important things you need to do to have spiritual victory. This is where we come back to the text. Obviously, I know this sermon is a little bit different. Normally, it's in the text from start to finish, but this is where we come back to Ephesians. But the first thing I want to say is this. Three important things that you need to do, and all of these are a part of Celebrate Recovery. I'm learning about this ministry. Some people I'm training with know far more than I do. Okay, in fact, most of them know much more than I do. That's okay. The first thing is this, is honesty. Honesty. Have you heard this before? It's been said that you are as sick as your what? Secrets. You guys have any secrets this morning? I'm going to bet that there are some spouses that have secrets here this morning. I would bet my house on that. Now that would be a sinful habit, so I shouldn't do that, right? But I would bet my house this morning that there are husbands and wives who are sitting here this morning and they're not aware of what's going on in their spouse when no one's at home, when no one's around. And so what we need to be aware of is this, is those areas of our life where sin has kind of taken root and has begun to dominate us, God's not fooled by that, right? Just because your spouse doesn't know, just because your kids doesn't know, doesn't mean that God has gotten to a place where He's like, well, it's okay. You're managing it pretty well, so I guess after all, it's just okay. No, what God is trying to do in your life, He's trying to pry your fingers off of it because He wants you to experience the life of Christ. He has something so much better He wants to give you. You have any secrets? I can almost guarantee you that if it's become a stronghold in your life, we talked about that at the men's retreat, if it's become a kind of a ongoing pattern of behavior, there's a very good chance you can't deal with it on your own. A very good chance. Why do I say that? Because 10 years ago, you thought that you could deal with it on your own, and this morning you're like, I'm still dealing with it. You need to be honest. For some of us as husbands and wives, you know what that's going to mean? It's going to mean that you need to have a conversation with your spouse. You need to sit down with them and say, I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed. I need to tell you about this. We need to be honest about what's going on in our life. In John 3:19, we read this, and this is the judgment. Light has come into the world, and people loved the what? Darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. You need to come into the light. Here's the second one, and it's related to the first, accountability. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. And so, again, if you feel kind of stuck, yes, we need to be honest, but it's more than just honesty. You actually need people, men or women, in your life who know what's going on. They know what's going on, and they're willing to invest time in your life and to help you to grow. One of the things that we're doing here at New Life Church is, and this is outside of Celebrate Recovery, it's called D Groups. And D groups, what that is gender specific, 3 or 5 people, and you're getting into God's word and you're asking really difficult questions. Tell me how you're really doing. Now, I don't mean like on the surface, like, what are your secrets? Where are you broken? Hurts, habits, hangups, really what's going on? So for many of us, if not all, that is something that we actually should be pursuing. How do I get into one of these D groups? Talk to Pastor Glenn about that. But it's also the place that the reason why something like Celebrate Recovery is so important. Here's the last thing that we need. I've saved the best for last. We also need the gospel. It's really not possible to be rid of our addictions, hurts, habits, and hangups. It's not possible to be rid of these things, to find spiritual healing, unless we have an encounter with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has to be at the center of our life. We have to recognize how beautiful he is, how wonderful he is. And the more that we realize how wonderful he is, the more we're willing to give up everything else by comparison. In the passage we just read, and I just want to read those verses again, Ephesians 4. Look at verse 22. Ephesians 4:22. To put off your old self. Paul's giving you a step-by-step plan. Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God. So when Paul says to put off your old self, you want to know what he means by that? What he means is anything that is not pleasing to God, anything that's not in accordance with the will of God. Is there anything like that in your life? There are things like that in my life. So what does it mean to put off your old self? What it means is you and I, we need to be honest about it. My dad was like that. Doesn't matter. My mom was like that. Doesn't matter. I come from a dysfunctional family, and that's why it doesn't matter. Jesus can make a difference, and he can bring transformation into your life. So we have to be willing to bring that out into the light and say, no, I don't want to live like that anymore. I want to not just confess it. I want to repent of it. I want to go a different direction. You need to put off your old self. Second thing he tells us is we need to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Any ideas how that happens? Well, for the past year, we've been talking about going deeply in the word together, right? The number one way to be renewed in your mind is to feast upon the word of God. Number one way. And so it's so... When I hear people talking, I'm like, man, they are so stuck. And that happens a lot, and it's happened to me. But then I also hear it with, well, I'm not really in the Word. I'm thinking, man, this is the primary tool that God has given. It's His voice, right? It's His Word. And as we feast on His Word through the power of the Holy Spirit, it has the ability to unlock like the deepest places of your soul. Do you believe that? Like those places where you were wounded by the mom or dad or sibling or that addiction that you've hung on to, as you read the Word, God has said through it, He is able to begin to change your life so that you look more like Jesus Christ. That's how you renew your mind. There's all kinds of lies that we believe, right? That's why I think He's talking about renewing our mind. We believe lies. I'm not really hurting anyone else. You ever thought that about your hurt habit or hang up? I have people in my life who have been bitter for 30, 40, 50 years. That's not an exaggeration. They would probably say, well, I'm not sure it's hurting anyone else. I would tell you it's killing other people. I would tell you there's people that probably have gotten to the point where they don't even want to talk to them because they're just walking around with this toxic thing called bitterness. How can that not destroy so much about you? It's not that big of a deal. I can't trust anyone with the truth. I can't trust anyone that if the devil was going to lay a lie on you, that would be one of them. I can't tell anyone. It's been going on so long. It's such a dark secret. I can't trust anyone. Listen, that's not the voice of God. I don't know what voice that is. It's not the voice of God. You can, in fact, trust people. James said that we need to confess our sins to each other. Isn't that interesting? Then he says, Paul, again, he says we need to put on the new self. We need to put on the new self. Well, what does that mean? That's Christianese, right? You've heard that if you've been in the church a million times. What does that mean? Well, it means a number of things, but at the very core, what it means is this. To put on the new self is to put on the life of Jesus Christ. It's to seek after Jesus. And what that means is every single day you are coming to Jesus and you're saying, Jesus, I need to decrease. I need to decrease and you need to increase. I want your life to just flow out of me. I want everything I do to be about serving you, seeking after you. I want you to be the singular great passion in my life. That's what it means to put on the new self. It's not self-improvement, right? That self-improvement's not the gospel. As I've heard someone say, the problem with self-improvement is that self is the problem. Amen? We have the sin nature. We can't tweak ourselves and get into a position where we're much better. We need a new heart. We need the Spirit of God. We need the Holy Spirit to be at work in us. Every bit of this is a miracle. Every bit of this is the work of the Holy Spirit. Are you hungry to see the Spirit of God work in your life in a new way? Not other people in the church, brothers and sisters. Here's another place that we get stuck. I mean, in you, even in some of my discussions this weekend, I won't go into too many details, but I was hearing some of those conversations. Like, man, yeah, the church needs to change. And I'm thinking, well, you know, you're the church, right? You know, the church is you. And so we can be so focused on what other people need to do. And the whole time God is saying, no, you need to change. We need to surrender our lives. So putting on the new self is putting on the life of Jesus. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, it means that your prayers are like, God, I want to know you better. I don't want to stay where I'm at. I want my marriage to grow. I want my marriage to be healthy. I want my relationships with my peers and my colleagues to change. And that happens as Jesus Christ is the center of everything that we are doing. C.S. Lewis, have you ever heard of him? Here's a quote from him. It would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. Where does all of this lead us? Where I believe it leads us to is this, is that as you begin dealing with these areas in your life, and it's going to involve pain that you don't want, that'll keep you from it. That's why you just keep yourself busy, right? But as you begin to honestly deal with it and you kind of sit there in your pain, quick story. A guy I knew in the Philadelphia area when I lived in New Jersey, he became a Christian counselor, but before that, he was heavily addicted to cocaine, alcohol, promiscuous lifestyle. He started to get clean through the help of the Lord, but he would still drink occasionally. Here's the problem, though, is he had all kinds of unresolved issues in his life. And one time he was about to have a beer and he just sensed from the Holy Spirit, don't have it. And what he started to realize is that he still had this propensity just to numb himself. Is that what he was doing, he was just numbing himself just a little bit so he didn't have to deal with the stuff that is really going on. Brothers and sisters, you and I, we're going to have to deal with the pain. We're going to have to sit there and say, God, if you don't change me, if you don't show up, then I'm just going to be stuck here. Here's the good news. He can't change you. And the beautiful thing is this, is as he changes you, as he transforms you, you start to feel this joy, amen? You start to feel this peace. You start to come to this conclusion. Wait a minute. This is what the Christian life is supposed to be like. I've been thinking it's about where I've been stuck. That's not it. That's a lie. And so you need to know God is offering you something so much better than where you're at. Do you believe that? You bow your heads as we pray. Worship team, come on up here. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray for not them, God. Father, honesty keeps me from ever thinking that way. God, I pray for us. Father, I pray that each and every one of us, if there are some areas in our life where like we're realizing we're stuck, it's a hurt, it's a habit, a hang up. God, I pray that each one of us would be committed not going back to the same way of living. Father, that we would realize that that's a lie of the evil one. We don't have to live that way. God, I pray that you would give each one of us a deep conviction that that is true. Then, Father, just give us a little bit of hope that life with Jesus, experiencing Jesus, is so much better than all these things that we thought were the remedy. And God, I pray that we would start to see new life flourish in us. That the way that we treat our spouses is different. The way that we feel is different. Our perspective to loving other people, that there's renewed energy in us for it because we're surrendering our life to you and the life of Jesus Christ is flowing out of us. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit is at work. God, I pray this morning for life transformation, all for your glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray, amen.